Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen on 1320 WILS. This past Saturday was National Adoption Day, a national day of celebration of adoptive families and the opportunity for courts to finalize the adoptions of children from foster care. Since 2000, more than 35,000 children have had their adoptions finalized on National Adoption Day. And to talk about it, I'm joined by Jennifer Perry, Executive Director of the Children's Action Network. Welcome to the program, Jennifer.
Thanks so much, and thanks for having me on to talk about such a wonderful and glorious event.
Now, adopting a child seems like one of the most caring acts a person can do, although some may view it as a significant challenge also. Do you think that most Americans have a clear understanding of the realities of adopting a child?
No, I don't, and that's actually one of the reasons we do National Adoption Day, is to show parents, particularly adoption from foster care, how much easier it is to do than they think, how there are no costs involved, and how the kids who are in foster care in the United States are just like the kids of their neighbors, the kids that they know, in that, you know what they need? They need someone to cheer them on at their soccer games. They need someone to tuck them in at night, read them a bedtime story, and that will enable these kids to flourish.
How typical is it for a family that has a foster child to then adopt that child?
It's more than 55% of foster parents end up adopting the children that they take in as foster children, which is really great because it means that they've bonded with a child, they have a relationship with a child, and they really have a great understanding of who that child is and what that child may need to succeed in life.
And what's the timeline in the typical process of adoption once a child becomes a foster child in the home and the parent may decide, I want to adopt this kid?
I'm really glad you asked that question because I think that's another thing people think, oh, my God, it just takes forever. And, usually it can be, if a child is already placed in the home as a foster child, it can be a matter of months, it can be a year. Even if you start from scratch, as it were, and you decide you want to be a foster parent, you can have a child living in your home within a year or so. You take some classes to help, prepare you. You have a home study where they're really just coming to look at your home and say, make sure that it's safe for a child. So the process is not as onerous as I think some people are led to believe.
And in most cases where you have a foster family, what's the status of the biological parents? Are they usually completely out of the picture?
As a general rule, when kids are placed in foster care initially, the goal is always to reunify the child with the parents, try and give the parents those supports that are needed so that they can support their children. But a child that is what they call freed for adoption, it means that the parents are in a place where they clearly can no longer take care of that child. So the child is in a place where once they are adopted by their adoptive parents, there are no longer any ties to the biological parents. They go through something when the process of adoption from foster care called termination of parental rights, and it means that relationship is in effect ended, so the child becomes the full child of the adoptive parent.
I see. I'm talking to Jennifer Perry, Executive Director of the Children's Action Network. Jennifer, we hear a lot about international adoptions, babies from China or Russia being adopted. Why do people go overseas rather than adopt American kids that need homes?
I think, there's some people that really want a newborn and feel that that's just the way that they want to create a family. And the perception is that there are more newborns in the foreign countries, and there are more on some occasions, but I have to tell you that there are also newborns available within the foster care system, and there are also lots of kids who are older, and what's interesting is a lot of people will begin the process and think, oh, I want a really young child, and then along the way they'll meet a child who's 3 or 4 or 10 or 12, and they realize that you can connect with a child who's older just as in the same way and have the same kind of impact on their development and success in life.
And of the foster children that do get adopted, do they tend to be on the younger end? Is there a certain age where it's maybe more difficult to place them into an adoptive situation?
Yeah, sadly. I mean, the average age of a child in foster care is about 7 or 8. And you hit upon an important point, which is that sadly, as the children get older, it does become more difficult to place them. And that's a really sad thing because, you know, a 17-year-old has the same need to have someone at their graduation, be somewhere for Thanksgiving, and walk them down the aisle as a 4-year-old does. And it's really important to underscore for people that that need never goes away. And finding homes for those kids is really important. There's a great guy in New York named Pat O'Brien who's made it his mission to place those older kids. He's got an organization called You Gotta Believe. And he's doing some really important good work, and people are learning, oh, yeah, I can take in an older kid, and there's some tremendous advantages because they're interesting young adults.
If a child then is not adopted through their 17th and 18th birthday, is there a point where they move out of the foster care system?
Yes, it's a process called, I think euphemistically, aging out. And what happens is there's about 25,000 youth who age out of the foster care system every year in the United States. And unfortunately, the prospects for them aren't great. About 40% of them can end up homeless at one point in their lives. Very few of them graduate from high school, let alone college, about 3%. Because you're talking about kids who haven't had all the modeling, all the supports that most kids have, and suddenly they're really thrust out on their own. And it's pretty darn difficult for them to survive, let alone thrive. There's been greater recognition of that need over the last couple of years, real progress made, and transitional housing programs being developed that are helping that population. But we need to do a lot more.
How many kids in the U.S. are currently waiting to be adopted?
Just over about 100,000.
100,000?
And we've got about 4 or 5 times that number of people who've expressed an interest in adoption. So if we could connect the dots, we'd be in a really good place.
I see. And typically then they're in foster families, but they're not adopted or being adopted at that particular moment or situation.
Right, exactly. And yeah, it's kind of a fluid situation, as you might imagine. But yeah, they're in foster families or group homes, that particular number of kids.
What about those who insist that having a biological child is quite different than an adoptive child? Is there something that they're missing or not understanding?
You know, I have seen it so many times over the years. It is the most wonderful thing to see when the human connection is made. You watch people who don't differentiate at all. People who go to the doctor, they've adopted a child, and the doctor says, so what's the history of eye problems in the family? And someone will start talking about their biological family, like, oh, no, it's you know, different than the same. I mean, and it's a wonderful process, too, because you know that you have, it's different from a biological family in that you have given a child an opportunity and a chance to blossom. And so I think it's an extraordinarily rewarding thing for anyone to do.
Do you sometimes find that the bond between an adopted child and their adopted parent might be even stronger than a biological one sometimes?
I think it could be. It's an interesting question, but I think that it could be because sometimes, particularly older kids, I think there's this recognition of how much, you know, how much they've been given, and that they've been chosen. So I hate to compare them, you know, it's sort of apples and oranges, but there is a very special bond and a strong, fundamental, profound bond. It's really a wonderful thing to see.
One last thing, 100,000 children in the U.S. waiting to be adopted. Is there any kind of policy issue or any structural issue that we have within the system that that is slowing down or making adoptions more difficult?
A lot has been done over the last 10, 12 years or so to make the process a lot easier. The Adoption and Safe Families Act and a number of other pieces of legislation have made a huge difference. Probably right now, one of the things we could address is, particularly in this age of social media and the internet, where you can find out and connect with kids that don't live in your own state, we need to do it a little bit to make it a little bit easier to adopt across state lines. So that's one area where the policy could play a little catch-up and would really help this population of kids.
Jennifer Perry, Executive Director of the Children's Action Network. Jennifer, thank you very much for joining me.
You know, thank you for giving me the opportunity. I appreciate the time and your interest, and I really hope your listeners will think about this as a great way to create a family.
Indeed. This past Saturday, in fact, was National Adoption Day. I'm Michael Cohen, and this is 1320 WILS.